Laura Schlesinger. My number here, 1-800-DR-LAURA. That translates to D-R-L-A-U-R-A. And Dave, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Dr. LaLaura.
Hi, Dave.
I have a problem coming up, and let me see if you can tell me if I'm...
You're anticipating a problem. It hasn't even happened yet. All right.
Well, my daughter is getting married.
And how old is she?
She's 24.
Uh-huh.
And her future husband is 25.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been knowing them both, and I've been a very active father all the way through her entire life, even through college, and she's living in one of my apartments and everything else right now. And we planned for the wedding, and I had talked to her mother, and her mother said, okay, that'll be fine. And
You've been talking to her mother. So have you ever been married to her mother?
Yes.
So you're divorced from her mother?
Yes, I am divorced from her mother.
At what age was your daughter when you divorced?
She was 3.
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
So with what frequency? Do you live in the same town or something? Or?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Town, very active. I see my daughter 2-3 times a week at least.
Got it.
And it's been all the way through her life like that. And she, her mother met, when I was sending her mother to school, she met her husband that she is now.
So her mom, your ex-wife, is remarried?
Remarried, well, they've got a 16-year-old daughter. So they've been married at least, I guess, about 17 and a half, 18 years.
Okay.
Okay, and the wedding is coming up. And when I was talking to her mother, you know, we got all the finances all straight, okay, paying half and so on like that. She had mentioned, says, well, it would be nice if her husband now would walk my daughter partially down the aisle. And at this point, I haven't discussed with my daughter, but I just let it set. I didn't say anything. I just let it go. And at this point, I really don't feel that, I mean, I'm her biological father. It's not somebody that just came into her life all of a sudden.
No, but this guy has been in her life for most of her life, too, on a daily basis, living under the same roof.
Yeah.
So you understand that she's going to have, if things go well, she's going to have affection and bonding and respect and, a bond with him that she also wants to acknowledge.
Mm-hmm.
That's a reality of the divorce you two had. You put the child in the position to bond with another man.
Mm-hmm.
What? That's not, you don't make the daughter pay for the fact that you two didn't keep the marriage together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's far better that she did bond than she didn't.
Mm-hmm.
To live feeling that the adult male in your house is an enemy, this is far better. So whether it's you on either side or every other step or however way this is going to be worked out, I think it's only fair.
So it would be fair for him to walk a person...
He has acted as a father for most of her life.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the reality. That's the reality of the divorce and the remarriage.
Mm-hmm.
If there had been no divorce, you'd be the only man available to walk her down the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'd be the only one he had bonded to.
Mm-hmm.
But you two did not produce an intact family till she got to 24.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way it is.
So it would, rehearsal comes up, you feel that it would be,
I'm trying to explain to you that if you try to take a preeminent position that only you should be there, then you're denying the reality of your divorce and the remarriage and the bonding to that guy, and I'm asking you not to put your daughter in that bind of having to blow one of you out of the water when you've both been her father.
I guess it's just the aisle walk more than the pictures.
I understand, but that's the honor. He was there, too. Every day. Dave, that's the reality of the action you and your ex-wife took.
Mm-hmm.
Don't put this on your daughter. So find a classy way to behave. And don't be angry with your daughter, but realize that you and her mother did this, not your daughter.
Well, I never realized that. I hadn't even spoke to my daughter about it.
Okay.
That's why I wanted to get a kind of a...
Well, if she says anything to you...
Mm-hmm.
Say, I understand that he's been like a dad, too.
Mm-hmm.
So how about we each walk on either side of you? You be on the left side, you know, closer to her heart.
Mm-hmm.
I think the box is usually on the left.
Okay. Okay, I was just seeing what the feeling was on that.
Oh, the feelings are a great pain for you. I understand that. Mm. But the feelings of the divorce were great pain for her, too.
Yeah. Well, I understand that, too.
All right.
To be very, very active.
I believe you are. I believe you. I didn't challenge you.
No.
I'm just saying this is one of the consequences of your divorce.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Don't make your daughter feel miserable for it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I just haven't talked to her yet, and I was just going to, you know, that's what I said. Let me go ahead.
Well, perhaps she obviously cares about your feelings very much because you two are also very attached, so why don't you try to make it easier for her?
Okay.
Okay, and I appreciate your call.
Okay.
Boy, these are the bitter pills to swallow, but these are the consequences of our actions. Sorry. I'm Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Stay with me. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Laura. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you.
Great. I really enjoy your program.
Thank you.
I called in because I had a question, and I figured you were the best one to answer or at least give me some advice. And that my wife had indicated to me that she doesn't love me, care for me anymore, and she would divorce me, but because of my two little kids, we're going to stay together at least till they're of age and can go on their own.
When you say your two little kids, they're not hers?
Pardon me?
Are they her kids too?
Excuse me, yes they are.
Okay. Because you said my little kids, I thought they were from her.
Kids.
Okay, how old are they?
They are 5 and 3.
Okay. Well, this is a very good thing.
Pardon me?
Are you not hearing me?
I must not be.
Well, how come you only not hear some things?
I think I can hear. I must be in a position where I couldn't hear.
I think it's a good thing. I think this I'm not in love with you business happens. And I think when people get divorced, when that feeling comes upon them, they disrupt families and relationships that probably could have survived quite well if they had any damn excuse one could think of for staying around, and that feeling oft rebuilds. There's hardly a marriage on the face of the earth that has lasted where one, the other, and both haven't gone into, who are you? I don't love you. It's gone. I don't feel that way. It happens. The stress of children, expectations that were maybe irrational, and then we start facing reality, and it's a turnoff, et cetera, et cetera. Or, you know, you may not be sweet all the time. Whatever. But it's a normal part of marriages. It's just that these days people divorce every time they feel that way. If they would stay together, quotes, for the sake of the children, you have the opportunity for the evolution to continue and the wave to pass.
A year and a half?
Sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I kind of feel the same way, but it appears that sometimes it's irritating to come home.
Well, when you're on the receiving end of this, it is not the best place to be. I understand that. But I think it's worth talking about in greater depth. You know, as I said, well, what are the expectations? What do you think you are disappointed about? It's the maintaining the dialogue. It's if she's comfortable enough, because now she's made some space to not feel she's responsible for every twitch of your eyebrow, that she can say, well, you know, at my age, I thought it was going to be different, and with the two kids, and I feel this and that. Whatever she is, she has to talk about. You see, this is very important. The person you can talk to on that level is the person with whom you have an intense bond. So it's not just treading water next to her to see if the phase is going to change, but it is using this opportunity to explore the ideas and feelings.
I'm not her soulmate.
I know that. But you were at one time. You see, that's what I mean. We fall in love and we have all these dreams and aspirations. Real life sets in. You have to take the kids to school. And people start thinking that means they're not feeling love anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it ain't necessarily so. It's just that life is tough and there are transition times. And commitment means you do exactly what your wife is doing. You don't leave just because you're experiencing one of these passing things. But the corollary is you guys have got to talk as friends about the feelings and the thoughts, because the irrationality of some of them becomes more clear in a gentle way when you simply converse about them. So talk, not all at one time, not for 10 hours like we did when we were 18, but talk for 20 minutes sitting out in the backyard or taking a little walk. So what did you expect to be feeling? I'm just, you know, and it's got to be hard for you. You're feeling like you're not in love anymore, and that's, you know, that's kind of a downer. What kinds of thoughts go through your mind? As she finds more and more, is my hope, that she can talk to you and that you're being understanding and permitting her to explore these things, it's amazing how that often gets defined as love later down the line. Think about that. Follow through on that. I think, don't think she's not just leaving because of the kids. She's not leaving more likely because she also has ambivalence about the feelings for you. Don't believe the obvious of what people say. If I did that, the show would sound real different. Thank you for your call. I'm Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tracy, welcome to the program.
Thank you for taking my call, Doctor.
Sure.
I got a dilemma I'm trying to work out. I can't decide whether it would be the right thing for me to get back with my ex-wife after us going through not a real bad divorce, but, you know, we've got two children, two daughters, one that's 9 and one that's 15. And it was mostly my fault that we split up. I was a truck driver over the road, and it was very difficult for her to take care of everything while I was gone. So, but since then, I have gotten off the road, and I'm home every night, and we're just trying to decide if it would be the best. We feel like it is for us, but, you know, I'm not sure if the children need to go through this, what we went through before, if it doesn't work out.
Well, whoa, that's funny. So we're planning for failure again, are we?
Well, it's there, I guess.
Do you know there are people who actually believe that when they get married, it is for life?
Well, I believe that, too.
Well, it's the attitude. What is it? It was a fellow, too, who wrote me just recently. He said he finally got the idea that the marital commitment, that the commitment and the promise was not to the lady, because he said she would irritate him or not on a daily basis, and that would shake his commitment to her. He said, but he finally got it in his mind. This is a guy who went back in a situation not too dissimilar to what you're talking about, but he finally got it in his mind that the promise was to the marriage.
Okay.
And that he had the power of that going up or down. You don't have the power of somebody else's moods or, you know, habits that they're trying to get over, but you have the power over your decisions. So when you say, I don't know, my commitment could be broken again, then it isn't a commitment.
I don't think it's more my commitment is what it is. My thought that maybe she wouldn't be as totally committed as what I would be.
Well, you know, she probably will have a different sense, because she'll be maybe somewhat wary, and she has to make big changes, because if you're back in the picture in a new and different way, the changes are difficult.
Right.
That's not the same thing as not being committed to the process.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get back together thinking that she has open arms and whatever else just because you're back. It's a long, hard haul back, because you two have to relearn something you didn't learn in the first place because you weren't around each other enough.
Right.
So your roles, your positions, your kindness to each other, if you went all out being thoughtful and kind and lovable and open and demonstrative and questioned her about her thoughts and how things are going and really worked at it, I'm not sure how it could fail. How could it fail?
I agree. I think that it could work out just fine, you know, as long as the commitment's there.
The commitment is to the marriage, not the mood of each other.
Right. You don't think that...
But I'm telling you that, because if you're going to measure her commitment by if she seems to be sick of you one day, that's not a lack of commitment to the marriage. That's disgust with you or difficulty in dealing with something at that moment, and those are two different ideas. I can be sick with you at a moment and still be thoroughly committed to you for life.
I understand that. I guess it's always the children that pay, though, in something like this, if it didn't work out. You're right.
Then make it work out.
Right.
Hey.
Okay.
Then you make it work out. You're right. It would be tough on the kids. So you make a commitment that you're there to make it work, period. And know, and remember, I'm going to repeat myself again because it's so important. Daily, weekly, or monthly irritation and disgust and regrets and second thoughts about each other are totally permitted. Commitment to the marriage is unshakable. I'm Dr. Laura Schlesinger.
Dawn, welcome to the program. Dawn.
Yes.
Hello.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
You're on the air.
Okay. I called because I have been married to my present husband for 11 years, and prior to that, in 1978, I met my ex-husband. I dated him for a year. Then we lived together for 2.5 years, and then we were married for 2 years. So, and we've still been seeing each other since 1983 when we were divorced. We see each other approximately from 1 to 3 times a year. And since we no longer live in the same city or state, we usually meet and spend a few days together. He's my best friend. We are not having a sexual affair, although for the first time in 11 years, we wanted to the last time we were together, which was last month, but we decided that we couldn't because that would just cause us, we both knew it would cause more problems than it would help. So my dilemma is I feel like I'm really in love with him and that I shouldn't have divorced him, that we both were just young, and I left him because I was hurt and I wasn't going to...
Hurt about what?
My ex-husband is Jewish and I'm not, and at the time when I was really young, I had come from a real dysfunctional family. I didn't have parents really to speak of, and I wanted his family to accept me, and they wouldn't, and I didn't want him to go over there if I couldn't go, and it caused us a lot of problems. His parents disowned him, and he was unhappy, and I thought he was unhappy because of me, and that he was...
Well, why'd you marry your current husband?
Because, for practical reasons, because he was the type of person one should marry, and I have been married twice. I have no children by my second or third husband. I've been married 3 times, excuse me, by my second or third husband. I got married very young to get out of my home because my father was a sexual child abuser, and it took me a while to get my life together. You know, I've gone to college since then. I have my life together. I have a good job. I know who I am. And now I know that, you know, I feel that I still love him, and I don't need that family, you know, support, his family as my family, or I don't need that acceptance.
Does he want to lose his family again?
His father has Alzheimer's now.
Does he want to lose his family again was the question.
Okay. He says that he would, but he said that that's not as important now as it was,
mm-hmm.
and that we've both grown up a lot, and we've both changed a lot, and
so what is your question for me?
Well, everybody tells me that I...
What is your question for me? I didn't ask you for everybody else's statements. I wanted your question.
Should I want to go back with him, okay? I want to be with him, but I have a very nice husband, even though I married because he was a good man, not because I was in love with him. I do love him as a person, and I don't want to hurt him, so... My question is...
If you love him as a person, and he's a very good man, and you don't want to hurt him, stop seeing your ex. Is there any place in here in your life where you focus on doing something honorable as opposed to doing something you feel like? Is there any time in your life where we're going to shift into one mode, into that mode? Because I fear that when we keep seeking feeling good, that we don't realize when we get that thing we think is going to make us feel good.
Right.
There's all kinds of crap attached to it we either didn't want to see, didn't want to deal with,
right.
or didn't know or didn't anticipate. So
right.
there's no situation that's always going to bring you feeling good. You married a man you love, you respect. Why don't we honor him? That's a very good life. And stop seeing your ex.
Okay.
It's easy to feel romantic and powerful when you remain in fantasy and have brief interludes.
Right.
It's when you really are with somebody that the truth of your abilities and his abilities to be kind, loving, and caring are taxed.
Right.
And you already taxed them and failed, both of you.
Right.
And for you to sort of put it aside and say it was only circumstances, not to stand back and look at how much indeed you contribute to it.
Right.
So here you have a very good man, and you would destroy him to go back and see if you could feel good with the other one.
Right.
When do you become a mature and honorable person? When do you do that?
Right.
If not now.
I understand. That's kind of what I needed to hear, too.
Everything in your life is how you feel instead of what you need to be doing. And the happiest people I know are the people who are giving of their hearts.
Okay. I just don't feel like I can love my present husband the way he...
I could love somebody I hardly ever see and have no negative interactions with because I only see them a little bit, and most of the time I fantasize. I could probably love them better than anybody else either who was real.
Right. Okay.
I wouldn't put that on the same par.
Okay. That's true. I hadn't thought about it that
way. So you're comparing two things which can't be compared.
Right.
You were there. You tried that. You left it.
Right. It's kind of like I go back and wish that my husband could be my best friend.
You go back and wish you were anywhere besides where you are.
Right.
Because I think we do that when we expect that the circumstance is supposed to give us fulfillment and happiness,
mm-hmm.
rather than we work to be fulfilling.
Right.
And to give happiness and to enjoy that. Otherwise, parenting would be a total nightmare.
Right.
Kids give very little back. If we didn't derive a sense of love by giving, by cuddling them in bed when they're asleep, they're not even doing anything, maybe they're snoring. If we didn't derive a sense of well-being from all that giving, everybody'd kill their kids and abandon them.
That's true.
Because kids are a pain in the butt. They're self-centered, they're frustrating and everything crummy until they mature and get a conscience and learn responsibility. But it sounds to me you're still in that mode.
Maybe you're right. Yeah. It's been a long time in growing up, kind of raised myself, so maybe I'm just not quite as far as I think I am.
Well, one way I believe that you could put yourself forward is we don't see the ex.
Okay.
Anymore, ever.
Okay.
Unless you invite him over for dinner with your husband and your ex's new date.
Okay. I can live with it.
And bring that best friend. You know, when you say somebody you see three times a year is a best friend, you have a very superficial idea of friendship.
I mean, we were best friends when we were married, even though...
We wouldn't have divorced.
Okay. Okay.
We're rewriting history.
Okay.
Because today is real life, and it's difficult. It is for all of us.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You never feel as good as on the first date when you fall in love.
I know, but I never really felt like that with my present husband at all, even on the first date. I just married him because he was a good person. And
God forbid.
No, I mean, that it was practice.
God forbid that you finally did it the right way.
Right. I agree.
So go home tonight and cuddle your husband.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Amy, welcome to the program.
Hi. Your show is so valuable. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm calling because you've always had the right answer so far that I've heard, and I need an answer. I'm 30. I've been married for 8 years.
30 married, 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Got it.
And I have no children.
Got it.
And until a couple years ago, I was living the way you would describe as right and responsible, taking care of my house, and I had some hobbies. And my husband and I had a very sound, very healthy, happy marriage. And 2 years ago, I made a real bad decision. I ended up having an affair after... I went on this rampage that my husband calls an angry young woman mode. I just started doing all these extreme things.
What were you angry with?
I don't really know. I think probably myself, but I think I was blaming people that had an impact on the decisions I had made. And
I'm not sure I'm following. What were you angry with?
Well,
you thought your life was boring and you were mad that everybody else made you get to that point, or what?
You know, I really didn't even think it was boring at that time. I was happy with the way I was living.
Well, happy people don't normally, jump into somebody else's bed. So what was the problem?
I don't understand why it would impact me so much, but this is the only thing that was going on at the time. I found out that my parents were having some very intense personal problems. And it threw me for a loop. I don't know how else to describe it. It really took my breath away, the things that they were going through. And I had a hard time dealing with it, trying to figure out this is their problem, and I don't live with them anymore.
What does this have to do with some other guy, though?
Well, man, I know. It doesn't make sense.
Did you spend time having sex with them, or did you spend time discussing your parents' problems?
Neither. I ended up, after I found out about my parents' problem, doing all kinds of things. I joined a gym, and I started having all kinds of extreme hobbies. I got a job, and I met this guy at work. And for the first time in a long time, he had no problems, and I just laughed all the time. He made me feel so good, because there was no crap, no garbage involved with him. And I just kind of got carried away with that, the laughing times.
Mm-hmm.
I made a bad decision. I ended up having an affair with him.
And how long did that last?
About a year.
And what made it end?
I felt really bad. My husband didn't deserve me to do that.
Does your husband know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I told him.
And what was his reaction?
He said as long as I wanted to fix our marriage, that it would be put behind us and it wouldn't be a problem.
Okay. All righty, so what can I help you with? You sound like you had a brush with and made it through.
Yeah. Now then, for the past year, I'm trying to force myself to do the things that I know are right and to want to do all those things that I used to want to do.
Like what? I don't know what you mean.
Like, I used to want to just take care of my home and wait for my husband to get home, and we would do things together, and we would do things with our friends, you know, mutually. And
as opposed to what?
Me going off and doing my own things with my own friends, not having him around, not wanting to be married, not wanting to make dinner, thinking all these things are just such a hassle, and not appreciating the kind of life that really is the right kind of life. I'm having a hard time straightening my thinking out. It's like...
Okay. While your thinking is not straightened out,
mm-hmm.
you do what you know is right. Because then when your thinking is straightened out, you have no regrets.
And that thinking is just going to straighten out on its own? It's really...
If not, he'll dump you.
I know.
So, but I cannot tell the future. I can only say that all marriages have crappy, difficult times as people go through different phases and experiences in their lives, and sometimes feel this is all a pain in the neck. It would be more fun if I could just play.
Yeah, exactly.
Except play gets dull because there's nothing under it to hold you up. And then you'd say, gee, I wish I had that foundation again. Yeah, but the foundation is dull. I got news for you, my dear. There is. It's like a seesaw. One side, up in the air, that's excitement. The other side, up in the air, is security.
That's exactly.
Security is not exciting, and excitement is not secure. So you be smart, and you do what it takes to honor your marriage, because that's your security. And then you do things like, sing in front of a crowd for the excitement. You see what I'm saying? You do things which bring that element into your life, too, so you bring balance that way. You don't bring balance by just shoving yourself into one arena and then racing out and going to another arena. That's not balance.
No, it's exhausting.
That's exactly right. So don't be stupid.
That's exactly what it would be?
You've got a good... Yes, that's why I use the word.
Okay.
You've got a good man.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, you're in a phase of your life where you're feeling kind of pissy.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand this. This happens. But find other ways. It can be through religion. It can be through sports. It can be through the arts. It can be through science and school. It can be through... I mean, there are a number of things you could do to actually become more rather than just be entertained. Right now, you're trying to have the excitement just through entertainment rather than challenge.
Yep, you're right.
The excitement of challenge is much more enduring.
Yep, you're exactly right.
So you got away with one stupid. I don't think you'll get away with two.
No.
All right. I appreciate your call. Ron, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Dr. Laura.
Hi.
I'm not sure how to start. I guess I was going to ask a question.
Okay.
And then you can ask me anything.
Okay, you give the question, then I'll nag you.
Okay.
Okay.
Good.
All right.
My wife and I, we've been having problems for many years, and I think it's about ready to come down to a divorce. I suppose I could contest it if I wanted to. For the sake of the kids, I love being around them, but if we divorce, you can't be around them all the time. At what point do you say there's arguments going on, I guess, constantly over many different things, sometimes on how children should be reared.
Lovingly in intact families.
Excuse me?
Lovingly in intact families. That's the prime way to raise kids.
That's the best way.
That is the best way. That is what we should all strive for and make sacrifices to do.
If you don't have that, if you can't really come to... Dr. Laura?
I'm here.
Okay, if you can't come to agreement on how kids can be raised, what...
Then you go to a professional and get some assistance so that you can have a focused way on raising kids. Are you talking about discipline and bedtime hours or what?
Well, the TV program.
You're getting divorced over arguments about TV programs?
Well, no. I guess there's been some infidelity on her part also.
You mean also in addition to yours?
Yes.
So you've both been screwing around on each other?
I mean, not on my part, just hers. I love the kids, and I would like to be around them all the time, but I don't know if it's best to have, you know, them, us disagreeing, not having a uniformed plan on how to discipline them, how to bring them up.
Those things can be built when you get assistance from knowledgeable people. What's with the affairs? Because that's one of my three A's.
Well, the affairs is that I guess she feels that you know, she doesn't love me anymore, and but this has been going on for 5 years now.
She's been having affairs for 5 years?
Yes.
So you're going to let her walk out the door with your kids?
No, I wouldn't want that. She is a good you know, she is a good person.
Well, first of all, the way the courts are working, I think I would be inappropriate if I didn't tell you that you darn well better file for joint physical custody or full physical custody and then settle for joint physical custody so that she cannot leave the state or the city with your kids on a whim. Do not trust her. I mean, I don't see how you can trust somebody who's screwing around on you anyway, but do not trust her with respect to the custody of the kids. If you imagine that you're not going to get full physical custody, then you should go for joint physical. That's the only way, at this point, you can guarantee that you'll see your kids.
This is one of the criteria that you really you shouldn't stay together. Like we argue, I would like to... We've been living, I guess...
Okay, Ron?
Yes?
You're giving me bits and pieces. If she's totally uncommitted, has filed for divorce, and doesn't want to be married to you, then you and I discussing what you should divorce over is not relevant, if this is not something over which you have control. If ultimately she wants out... Unless she's calling and I can deal with her, then that's not the useful argument. If indeed she's bouncing out of this and taking the kids, I'm just suggesting what you need to do to protect yourself with respect to being their parent.
Well, I have the 1-800 number for dads.
Okay.
I've gotten that from you before.
But you have to make it clear to her that you're filing for full physical, joint physical custody. So it's like 20 minutes at her house, 20 minutes at your house. I loathe this. But I think it's the only way men can protect themselves.
Well, I was debating on whether to contest the divorce totally.
Well, if she's willing to work on the marriage.
But she's not.
Then it's you. Then Ron?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the point is.
Well, I was just hoping if we did contest it, to block it just for the sake of the kids.
If she's not willing to work on the marriage,
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what you will accomplish. So you need to look at what's the least crummy next step. And the least crummy next step is to make sure you're hands-on half the time.
Okay.
You have to protect yourself because the courts are leaning over toward, you know, we women like to have whatever we darn well want. It doesn't matter who else pays the price. And the courts are backing us up. So if you want to make sure you see your kids and she can't just take them off into a different state... You better file, you know. No, I don't think people should divorce over not agreement over TV shows. That's stupid. But obviously your problems are more depth than that. And if you're not aware of that and you don't have a clue about that, then perhaps that's one of the reasons she's upset with you, that you're speaking on such a frivolous level. If she has been having extramarital affairs, you know, I loathe divorces when there are children. I just loathe them. Children loathe them, and therefore I loathe them. And there are the three A's which I think do justify breaking of the covenant because the other person has broken the covenant, in my opinion. Unless, of course, there is some kind of acknowledgement of responsibility, real, true regret, and a determination to repair and not to repeat this. But if there isn't any, then, of course, abuse, affairs, and addictions. These destroy that person's commitment to the marriage and the family. And at that point, these things are ongoing, And as I said, there is no taking responsibility, no regret, no attempts to repair and not to repeat. One has no options. So at that point, one needs to make sure that you do what is available in the law to protect yourself with respect to being the parent, because the courts are being really insane about protecting the best interest of the parent, of the children, and the non-custodial parent, which is typically the man, and leaning over toward any whim that the custodial, which is typically the female, can do with the children, no matter how hands-on and loving the father is. So that's why I'm now supporting joint physical custody, where I never have before, because I really believe kids need a place to live, not places to visit. Don't we all like a home? Blessinger, Ed, welcome to the program.
Or how are you?
Hi, Ed.
I had a problem ever since we've been married with my temper. We've been married for 18 years. I got two little girls. One's six, one's two. Okay, my wife recently told me, last weekend, she goes, "I still care for you a lot, but I don't love you anymore." And I said, "Well, I can." When we had married in the past, we was out in the West Coast. Okay, I was on drugs. Okay, when we was on the West Coast, the abuse was more physical than it was mental. Now that we're on the East Coast and I'm back here around my parents and her parents, the abuse turned to more mental than physical. Okay, now she's put up with this for 18 years. Okay, and I told her, you know, I called a counselor, said I was going to set up a counseling, and said that, I'll do whatever it takes to make it right, you know. And I don't know if she said she would go to counseling with me, okay, to work this out. Now, I don't know if she is sincere or if she's given up on it.
You'll just have to, and she doesn't know if you are either, dear.
Yeah.
The, I want to lose my family, I'll go to therapy, is such a typical immediate response to salvage a situation.
Okay.
Not necessarily often followed through upon. Okay. So she doesn't know if you're sincere either.
Right.
So I guess you'll both have to see. But you want it now, which is one of the issues that you're going to learn in your therapy. You want the emotional gratification, the control, the feeling in charge, the not feeling one down. You want all this right now.
Well, that's what she told me.
Well, see,
last week.
She and I are right. So you're calling me because you want to know right now that you're safe.
No, I don't want to know that. I want to know what I want to know, Dr. Laura, is if therapy going to help both of us, or should just me go and not her?
Well, I think any woman who stays 18 years with a guy who has a violent temper and does drugs and only in the recent years starts making babies with him, I think she has some problems, too.
Well, see, another problem is...
No, did you hear that? I don't know that you ever let things sink in. I think you both have problems,
right,
and they dovetail.
Okay.
And you have two little children.
Right.
You are morally obligated to make the best home you can for them.
Okay.
Period.
Right.
Whether she's sincere about keeping you or not, you're still their dad.
Right.
And you have to be a better one than you are now.
Right. Now, I haven't done...
Okay.
...at all for 8 or 9 years.
Okay, Ed, you keep going on. This is not a therapy session.
Okay.
All right, your question, and you tried to get me off the track, but your question was, I want to know that I'm safe with her right now. That really is what you were asking. And I'm not faulting you for that. I'm just pointing out that it's that impulsiveness to have the emotional... satisfaction right now that has gotten you into a lot of trouble. There's a kid who has tantrums if they can't have their cookie. And you're going to learn about this in the therapy, but she's also going to learn about her need to have such a man. Because as you get better, she might get worse. That's why it's very important for you guys to be in therapy together, and I appreciate your call. And welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Laura.
Hi, Jan.
I'm 41 years old. I've been married 20 years. I have four kids, ages 5 through 11. 4 years ago, my husband started an affair with a co-worker. He moved out 6 months ago and now says he wants to come back for the sake of the kids, but he said he cannot be committed to our relationship and wants to continue to see this other person. I think this is an inappropriate role model for our kids, aside from the fact that I don't like it myself and I would never agree to it. But I'm not sure if I Should I let him come back for the sake of the kids, or am I just telling...
Why is he really coming back to do this? I mean, if he's got this hot and heavy honey and he doesn't want to give it up, what, is she married?
No, she has 5 teenagers, and she was dumped, too, so she's got another agenda going on.
She has 5 teenagers?
Yeah.
He doesn't want to live there.
He does not.
I do agree with you that this is, you know, I fight to keep families together, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's coming back, not with the notion of saying, okay, we're sort of separate but equal, and we'll see how it goes, and we'll try to work our way back together, but if there's going to be this other activity, I think that's a strain and a stress for the two of you, clearly. And I don't know that this is in the best interest of the kids. I agree with you. I think for him to have really superior access, helping them with homework, coming by to help them with homework every night, or
right,
kissing them to bed, I think that's terrific. But I think having a honey living there makes the family home life a distortion of what I think it needs to be in their eyes.
Okay.
So of all the terrible possibilities, I add that to the more terrible.
Okay.
So I agree with you.
Oh, great, guy. I just want to make sure I wasn't...
I appreciate it. I would imagine you thought you were just being sort of pouty and jealous and...
And angry.
And bitchy and crummy. And and maybe you are in part, and I wouldn't blame you. I would be.
Well, I read your book, and I knew I was on the right track, but then he started making me, trying to lay a lot of guilt on me, like, well, you know, it's for the kids. It's for the kids, so...
Well, tell him... This is my words to you to tell him.
Okay.
It wasn't for the kids for him to be screwing around with somebody at work. It wasn't for the kids for him to move out and be playing footsie with somebody else. None of that was for the kids, so he's not the best person to give us an agenda for children.
I see. Okay.
You just discount him as an authority.
Okay. I really...
Having your father betray your mother and leave the home to play with some honey is not in the best interest of children. Mm-hmm. Doesn't tell them what a man ought to be, doesn't tell a son how he ought to be when he's a man, doesn't tell daughter anything about how she can trust men. He lost his right, in my opinion,
okay,
to dictate what is in the best interest of children.
Right. Okay.
So lay that on him when he tries to manipulate you.
Right.
And I wonder what his other motivation is. Is it financial?
Some of it might be.
Because, you know, if he's living there, then he can get out of child support.
Right, and I think he loves being around the kids, but...
Not enough...
Right.
To discipline himself.
Right. He wants to look good in their eyes.
Too bad.
Right.
He blew that already.
Yeah.
Now, not the phoniness. Kids are not stupid.
Right.
They're dependent, they're needy, they're hopeful, but they're not stupid.
Right. Well, they want him to come back, so that's another...
Well, you just explained to them, if Daddy were coming back to commit to the family, he would be back in a blink.
Okay.
But he still has his girlfriend, and that's not fair to me, and I think that's a very bad role model for you. You be blunt.
Okay.
And do it in front of them.
All right.
Once you two agree that that's the, you know, the conclusion. Don't argue about it in front of them.
Okay.
But if this is delivered in front of them after you're all clear, then it's something open for discussion.
Okay.
Now, the 5-year-old, this is real desperate. That's not as comprehensible for a 5-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
But the older children, yes.
Right. Okay.
But it's amazing how people do what they feel like doing, break all kinds of profound rules, and then say, but I don't want consequences, I don't want to look bad, and I don't want to lose anything.
Right.
They need to understand that's what the rules are for. They're for other people to be able to trust them and care about them and incorporate them in their lives.
Right.
But we've come to a point in our society, you know, this whole country was based on freedom for the individual.
Mm-hmm.
That was the whole point of this country being developed. But we took that to an absurd extreme.
Oh.
To imply that my personal happiness is more important than the welfare of others who depend upon me.
Right. He wants both sides, and I don't think that's...
No, you picked one, and he picked the devil.
Okay.
Okay?
All right, thank you so much.
All right, thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
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 Bye-bye. And certainly, a life led by the former, the needs of the one are more important than the needs of the many, is a sick, eventually isolated, meaningless life. Yet we are not ants. So we need to balance it. It's the balance that is healthy. But I think in our country, we have pretty much tilted the needs of the one reign supreme and screw the many. I don't care about my children, my spouse, my family, my neighbors, my friends. I want to have an orgasm with this person. Or I want to have this job. Or I want to have this thrill. I, me, I, me. It's gone too far. There's no balance. I'm Dr. Laura Schlesinger. This is